Okay, is everybody trying to thaw out? It's cold out there. Kind of cold in here, isn't it? Just move around a little bit, talk to your neighbor. Tell the person next to you God loves them, okay? That'll warm you up. Just go ahead and tell somebody next to you there. Because it's true. Oh, the Lord knew that I wouldn't make a good Yankee. It's way too cold up there. Looking for spring. When's spring going to get here? Is that the end of February? March 22nd? All that? We got to wait till then? Okay. Hey, we'll take your little bulletin. Huh? 81 Wednesday? I like it. I'll take it. It's good. Looking for that. Yeah, your little puzzle there, right? So we got marks of discipleship. We're looking at seven little marks of being a follower of Jesus. What does that look like? What's it look like to be a disciple? So we have seven marks. So you may have one of your old bulletins or you got a new one, but we want to write these words down. So G is for generosity, right? So Christians are generous. They're not selfish. So once you become a Christian, you never have to worry about being selfish ever again. No, we have to work on that every day, don't we, really? I mean, that's a tough one, you know, because we're always thinking about ourselves and God's wanting us to get out of our skin, if you will. Think about others. So many scriptures in the New Testament about thinking about others, not just about yourselves. With your time, your talents, your money, giving, being a generous person. Now, by the way, do you have to wait till we cover all seven marks before you start on any of these? Hopefully you've already started working on being more generous, right? Being more giving and looking for ways, asking the Lord to help you to be generous with your gifts and your time and your talents. So that's part of our reflection as we're praying with the Lord. And then as we go out through our day and we come across different people. Remember, sometimes we said that giving is sometimes urgent. So we might be in a Good Samaritan scenario. But other times it might just be systematic and something that we want to do all the time. So G for generosity. Then our next little mark is P. P was for prayer. Prayer. And the Bible says, pray without ceasing. God wants us to be in constant communication with Him. Sometimes we like a time of solitude and, you know, it's just normal. Just having, you know, an opportunity to just kind of shut down a little bit and just have some quiet time and maybe not listen to all the chatter out there in the world, and that's a good thing. But you know, God never gets tired of listening to you. Do you realize He said, pray without ceasing? That means He never wants you to stop communicating with Him. Now that's something. God wants to always hear from you. Now I know that, you remember, well, I guess we still kind of have it, what they call it, caller ID. And sometimes you'll see the name on there, and what will you do? Now, I never do this with any of our members. But sometimes it's not necessarily, you know, it's just that maybe you got caught at the wrong time, you know, or maybe you're driving the car. Do y'all answer the phone when you're driving the car? Huh? Oh, if you have hands free. But if you don't have hands free, you're not supposed to do that, right? Because you're supposed to be driving. God's always hands free. Okay? You're never going to catch Him at a bad time. And He always wants, and He'll never hit the little button, you know, that says, you know, decline. Right? Do y'all see that, by the way, when somebody declines on you on your phone? I hope not. Just kidding. So He's wanting to always hear from us. So a mark of a disciple is one who's constantly communicating with the Lord. That means you're talking to God even while you're working, or while you're playing, or on your vacation, or whatever you're doing, okay? So you're constantly talking with the Lord. And there are people that I'm praying for, you know, and I'm kind of reminded of them throughout my day, maybe several times. And I just go back, so when I think about their name, I go, oh yeah, I need to pray for, and I may do that several times in a day, okay? And then worship, oh yeah, W was from worship. I jumped the gun there a little bit. So W is for, okay, there we go, worship. And we said worship is kind of in a twofold operation process. One's a corporate aspect, the other's a private. So we talked about finding your place where God every day, where you say, I'm going to get into the light of God. I'm in this channel with the Lord, and I want, it's just between Him and me, and I'm going to focus on Him and let Him envelop me, envelop my life with His life. But then we don't stay there. We come out of there, and then we come to a place like this, which is not a corporation with a bunch of stockholders and board members. It's the next C is for community, right? So we're connected to each other through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has made us like a bride. He's made us like a family. And He's made us the body of Christ, like a body with arms and legs and feet. And so we have these metaphors of how we are represented with each other. Point is that we are connected to each other in this community. And so we not only find our place each day where we worship the God solo, but we do that together. And we are still connected to each other as we worship throughout our day in our workplace and wherever we go without in the world. But we get to see that when we come together. And of course, we shared that in Hebrews chapter 10, that God said we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because this is a little picture of what heaven is going to be like. And in this picture, God is preparing us for the next life. He's preparing us for heaven. So we have community. And then we have S is for service. Okay, so write all these down. You want to write these down again if you haven't done that already. Write that down. Service. So we have acts of service. Jesus said that He had not come to be served, but He came to serve. And how, if we are to be like Him, we're going to serve also, but we can't see God. So how would we serve God if we can't see Him? Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, for example, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. So we serve God by serving others, by helping others, encouraging others, praying for others, loving others, giving to others, trying to meet the needs of others, all these kinds of things involved in service. A mark of a disciple is one who is serving. Jesus stooped down at the Last Supper and He washed the feet of the disciples. He got out of His context into this servant mode, the lowest of the servant mode. In fact, this was reserved for the slaves to do this. And Jesus took that mode. And so we want to follow Him in His footsteps by serving others. Okay, and then we have number six. I think our sixth mark is E. This is one we're going to cover today. And E is for evangelism. Evangelism. Did somebody else have something else there? Anybody else have another word for E that fit in there? Engagement. And evangelism is engagement. You'd be engaging. Yeah. Okay. So evangelism. So we're going to talk about that today. Is that a new word for you? It depends. You know, sometimes, folks, we have all kinds of different people in the church. We have some that are just showed up, brand new. This is a word you might not have heard before. And then there's some who've been here a long time, and you go, oh gosh, not again, you know. So, and then sometimes in the middle we're in there, and we go, well, yeah, I know about that word, but I think I need to be reminded of what that means and what that looks like. And so hopefully we can facilitate everybody today as we think about this most important word, this most important activity. Here in Philemon 1:6, that the sharing of your faith, Paul says, may become effective. That word means active, powerful, by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, what verse, except for you, Thomas, you were here in the early service too. You're double dipping today. Congratulations, man. Or I'm sorry, I'm not sure which one, but evangelism. Tell me the verse that you find that word in. Because this is like, this word is the heartbeat, you know, of being in the Christian faith. So what verse do you find the word evangelism in?
Matthew 16?
You find it there?
Preach?
Is that the word evangelism? Okay, I'm looking for the word evangelism. Where do you see that word spelled out? E-V-A-N-G-E-L-I-S-M. Where is that verse? It's somewhere in there? You sure? Okay. Look at this verse. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. I kind of fooled y'all a little bit. I'm sorry. And Jesus went out about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Where is the word evangelism in that verse? Well, you won't see the word evangelism there, but the word is in there. It actually is in there. It actually is written in there, but it's in a different language. Which one of those words, I'll tell you in just a second, which one of those words represents evangelism in that verse, do you think? Preaching? Teaching? Anybody say anything else? Healing? Gospel. Ah, that's the word. It's the word gospel. That actually is the word evangelism. The word is evangelion. There we go. Evangelion. Accents on the A. The A. Evangelion. That is the word gospel. So actually the word evangelism is in the text literally, but it's written in Greek. It's a noun. Okay? But it's translated, not evangelism. It's translated gospel. That's the word. Okay? So when we're talking about this sixth mark of discipleship and we say evangelism, what we really mean is gospel. Okay? Now, what does gospel mean? Holly? You cheated? The evangelist, yes. Yes, that would be the office, right? We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Way to go. Everybody say, way to go, Holly. Jesse, you got something for us today? Huh? Yes, right. So it's a word that we're trying to use, or it's an exercise that we do trying to get people to become a what? A Christian. Way to go, Jesse. Everybody say, way to go, Jesse. All right. We're getting thawed out here. I can see that. Gospel. Gospel means literally good news. Now, boy, if anybody needed good news, it was the folks in the first century. Wow. I mean, they were under the Roman tyranny. You just coughed wrong, they'd crucify you. You know, I mean, you had to really watch your, what, Q's and... whatever. You really had to watch yourself because, you know, it was a dangerous place. High taxation, if you couldn't pay your taxes, they'd just come and grab your kids. That's how we'll pay your taxes. Tough, tough world. Is it ever going to change? Is it ever going to get better? You know, they're thinking. Is the Messiah ever going to come? And the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 35, here's an illustration of the good news. Again, the next day, John stood with two of the disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and say where he was staying and remained with him that day, and that was about the 10th hour. And one of the two heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. That is a great illustration of the exercise of evangelism, of carrying out the good news or the gospel. Knowing who Jesus is, knowing where he is, and taking someone who doesn't know him and doesn't know the way and bringing them along and saying, "Let me introduce you to Jesus." That's it right there. That's called the Andrew principle. Okay? So there's a thought for you right there. Now, Jesus went all around Galilee sharing the good news. Later, after he ascended into heaven, the disciples took that good news and shared it in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other parts of the world. And so we are to do the same today. Because there is lots of bad news out there. People need to hear about the good news. We had some bad news just recently in our community. But you know what? We got some good news. Show that little video. It's just a minute and a half long. Look at this. Here's some good news. Came out of bad news.
This is the day everyone wants 6-year-old Rylan Ward to remember. A little boy's dream, getting to ride in a fire truck up front. Lights, sirens, the whole deal.
I can't think of anybody that deserves it. He deserves it, any kid does.
And this is the day family and friends hope will fade from his memory. 2 months ago, when a gunman walked into the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, and opened fire. 26 worshipers dead, among them Ryland's stepmother and two sisters, and 20 wounded, including Ryland, shot 5 times. 2 days later, his grandmother told me he'd be fine. At the time, a hope, not a prognosis.
His arms messed up where he was shot. His lower intestine, his bladder, just goes on and on.
It's a day firefighter Rusty Duncan will never forget. He was one of the first on the scene, and in the carnage, it wasn't so much that he found Ryland, more like Ryland found him.
A little hand grabbed my pant leg. I just saw his eyes looking up at me, and I knew I had to get him out of there.
The firefighter and his family visited Ryland often, and Duncan promised the boy when he was ready to go home, it would be in a fire truck. Well, when that day finally arrived,
he was ready to get in the truck right away.
What 6-year-old wouldn't be? And off they went.
He wanted to go faster. He wanted the siren to be louder. And he wanted me to honk more at all the people. He was having a blast.
He looked like a little kid on Christmas morning. Yeah, he was just really, really happy.
His grandmother says Ryland is a miracle, a fighter. Today, the boy who never stopped fighting is finally safe at home. For today, Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News.
Wasn't that good news? Came out of a bad, bad story. And that's what the good news does for folks when they get to meet the Lord. Man, God turned their darkness into light, and their pain and their suffering into joy and peace. And this is the gospel. This is good news. And this is what God wants us to share. So first of all, I wanted to think about what the gospel is. Maybe we should even step backwards a little bit and say, well, what is the gospel not? What is it not? Some friends shared with us the other day that they knew someone who met with the Dalai Lama. And every time he comes to the States, they have this relationship with him. And so they try to become spiritually moved from the Dalai Lama. Let me tell you, the gospel does not reside in the Dalai Lama. And the spiritual influence you'll get from him will take you the wrong way. There are many false idols and messiahs and gods. And there's just so many people speaking so many ways of error and folly, and that do not contain the truth. It's important that we understand what the gospel, not only what it is, but what it is not. Do y'all ever get a knock on the door on Saturday morning? The Jehovah's Witnesses, they show up. They mean well. They are sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. They do not carry the gospel with them. They believe something that the text does not say. They don't believe that Jesus is God, and that the only way to the Father is through the Lord Jesus, and that there's nothing that we can do to become a Christian except accept Jesus Christ into our lives, that it's a gift. So they carry a different gospel. In fact, Paul said, if anybody preaches a different gospel, let them be anathema. Why would he say such a strong statement? Because if you're someone who leads people away from God, how bad can that be? That's terrible. We want to lead people towards God. In order to do that, we have to know what the gospel is. We have to be able to recognize it. Our Mormon friends are sincerely wrong. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God of many gods. They believe that they can become a god themselves, and that our God once was a man, he once was a Mormon on another earth in another universe, and now he ascended to being God of our universe in the midst of many universes and many gods. Is that bizarre enough for you? They won't tell you that when they knock on your door, but it's a different gospel, and it's anathema. And then you have all kinds of different things in the quote-unquote Christian church. In some of our churches today, there's a process of justification that you've got to jump all these hoops and you've got to do all these things even to get to the end of your life and still not know that you know that you know that whether or not you're going to go to heaven or not. It's all undecided, and you may even have to die and most probably go to purgatory and there burn and suffer for who knows how many years, only in the hope of having people pray for you so that it can lessen your time of suffering. That's not the gospel. That's not justification. To be justified means to stand before God, and God is to say to you, you've never sinned. You're not guilty. You're free. Now, how can God say that? How can that happen to you? How can God declare you not guilty when you know you have sinned? And everybody has sinned because of what God did for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. So this is the gospel. So we need to understand what it is. So basically, just several little scriptures. The Roman road. Remember learning that when you were a kid or when you were younger, the Roman road? Romans 3:23 says what? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the gospel. And that's kind of the bad news. Okay? We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've all missed the target. All right? And the Bible says, here's the penalty. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what we've earned before God by sinning is death. And so our death is spiritual death. We've been separated from God. That's the bad news. Romans 6:23, but the rest of that gives us the good news. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. It's not something, you don't have to jump a bunch of hoops. You don't have to join a bunch of churches. It's not in the baptistry. It's not in the H2O that you will find justification before God. There are churches today that say, no, you have to believe, and then you have to be baptized. And if you haven't been baptized after believing, you do not have forgiveness from God. Do you believe that? And there are many churches that teach that. There are many churches that say, oh yeah, you're a sinner and you need God, but then you need to really work hard and do your best. That's not the gospel. That's not what the Lord says. It's a gift that God gives. Then in the Bible says in Romans 10, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With the mouth, confession is made unto deliverance. So in other words, it's not only about who Jesus is and what Jesus did, it's also about you and your response. We are not like the Unity Church. The Unity Church, they're Unitarians. They're universalists. There's no need for the cross. There's no need for the blood. There's no need for the redemption of the saints, of people who are lost to become saints. Don't need any of that. Everybody's going to heaven. Is that the gospel? Does that sound like the gospel to you? I mean, you know, you don't have to go very far and to find so many different ways to God. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says, no, we've all sinned. We've missed the target. We deserve death. And the only way we can be justified before the Lord is to put our faith in Jesus Christ, the person of Christ, as God the Son, and His work, and then our response. So we have an assent, but we have a response where we ask the Lord to come into our life. We say, dear Lord Jesus, I need you. I can't get to heaven without you. I need you in my life to save me and to forgive me for my sins. And I know that you can forgive me because you paid for my sins on the cross. That satisfied the wrath of God. And therefore, I can be justified before you by simply receiving your gift, the gift of your Son. And the Bible says, he who has the Son has, present tense, eternal life. The Bible says that when we have eternal life, by having the Son, we can know in 1 John chapter 5 that we have eternal life. So we don't have to walk all the way down this our life, jump all these hoops and go, boy, I hope I'm going to make it. No, I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ lives in my life. How did he get there? I invited him to come in. This is the gospel. This is what it is. Now, I'm preaching to the choir so far, but let's take this a little further. Now that we know what the gospel is, the good news, what are we supposed to do with it? I thought that was the preacher's job. Holly read to that scripture to us in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, some to be pastors and teachers and evangelists. There is an office of evangelism, but there is no gift of evangelism. Do you know why some people don't share their faith? They figure, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. That's crazy talk. That'd be like saying, well, I don't have the gift of mercy, so I'm not going to be merciful. I don't have the gift of giving, so I'm not going to give. No. No, God has commanded, it's in the imperative, all of us to go. Remember Matthew chapter 28? Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'm still preaching to the choir. Is that news to most of you here? No, you know that. Yet, probably around 80 to 85% of the people who go to our churches today in the West never share their faith. Or have never shared their faith. Or if they do, seldom do. Now, how can that be? We have the imperative. We know God has commanded us to do this. But yet most in our churches today don't share their faith. Why do they not share? Knowing what God has commanded them. Now, I'm not trying to put the big guilt balloon on you today, right? Tell you how rotten you are trying to help, okay? There's some problems. And I was reading this week Bill Fay's book on Share Jesus Without Fear. It's a great little book. Here's what Bill said. He said, here's the six top fears why people don't share their faith. Number one, being rejected. They're afraid to be rejected. Nobody likes rejection. Number two, they're afraid of what others think. Number three, they don't think they can. So what about Philippians 4:13? Remember that verse? I can do all things through Christ. In other words, if God commands you to do something, he's going to give you the power, the ability, you know, to do it. Don't know enough. Has that ever kept you from sharing your faith? Here's a little story here. This is a cool story. Don't know enough. And where's my little thing here? Here we go. Imagine you had to share your faith with a man like Nate, who tests in the upper one percentile in intelligence and reads 1,250 words a minute with total recall. Imagine this man so bright that he not only scored one of the highest scores on the Mensa test, a test for geniuses. Anybody ever taken that test, by the way? I'm in the right group, okay. While he was taking that test, he found an error in the test while he was taking it. Nate was a hard case. He had been an atheist for 20 years, and his hobby was tearing apart religions. What kind of person do you think God sent into Nate's life? A fellow genius? A Nobel Prize winner? Josh McDowell? No, God sent John, a Blackfoot Indian with a 12th grade education. Nate was in the armed services and riding a bus with John, and other soldiers kept throwing John's Bible out of the window to tease him, and John would patiently get off the bus and retrieve it without complaining. Nate asked him, why do you let those clowns do that to you? John replied, sir, I am a Christian. Up until this point, Nate had never attacked the Christian faith. He had successfully shredded every other religion, yet Christianity had stumped him, so he decided he would challenge this simple man of faith. Nate asked, do you mean to tell me you believe somebody got vomited out of the mouth of a whale? John said, yes, sir. Nate asked him, why? John answered, my Bible tells me so. No matter what question Nate threw at John, John replied with a yes or a no, followed by my Bible tells me so. Nate's great mind could not shake John's faith, and that shook Nate. That night, Nate went home and borrowed a Bible from a neighbor. He read the entire Bible in one weekend. A verse in Job chapter 5 and verse 9 struck Nate's heart. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed and miracles that cannot be counted. Nate could not ignore this truth, and it's transformed his life. Now Nate is one of the best defenders of the Christian faith, Bill says, I've ever known. How did this happen? Because John, a simple man of faith with a 12th grade education, believed a verse. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Some folks don't share their faith because they don't feel like they don't know enough. Number five, They fear they will lose their friends and family. And number six, they don't know how. Now, we're going to close here in just a minute, and we're going to pick it up again next week. But this is the subject. Now, this is the subject not only what, but we move to why. Why would you share your faith with someone else? Well, God commanded it, right? Now, if 80% of the church knows that God made this command and they're not sharing their faith, are we still missing something? Probably. What might that be? I think that we haven't really come to the place in our life, and I want to help you today, where we believe what God has said. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, "I haven't come to condemn the world, because the world is condemned already." Do you believe that? Or as the devil kind of whispered in your ear, like saying, well, it's not going to be as bad as it sounds, or maybe things will work out, or maybe God will turn the other way, or maybe he'll wink, maybe somehow someone will get to this person or that person, and it'll be okay. And instead of believing what God has said, that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world because the world was condemned already. The people that we work with who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ are condemned. They don't have a way of escape. I was listening to the testimony in this DVD of Steve McQueen. It's a long story towards the very end of his life. And one of his stuntmen that was witnessing to Steve said this. He said, "Steve, in case you haven't noticed, none of us are going to get out of here alive." Boy, he had it down. He believed what God had said. If we really understood the ramifications of a person who dies without Christ, it would give us a whole lot more, I think, urgency. We have to take God at his word. Now, in sharing our faith, the question is, how do we do that? Especially if you're brand new, this is all new to us. What can we do? Is Brother Mike, is he going to throw us out there on the street, you know, tell us not to come back until we witness to 50 people? What are we going to do? Okay, so Brother Matt, he's got a little something he's going to share with the young people. So I said, "Give me some of that, Matt. Send me that picture right there." So I'm going to put this picture up here for you, because I'm going to get everybody an assignment today to get you started in the Great Commission, okay? Because I'm telling you, even when you share your faith and somebody didn't get saved, I'm telling you, it is the greatest, it's such a wonderful experience, because you're pleasing the Lord and you're helping someone else. By the way, they say it takes 6.7 times for somebody to hear the gospel before they get saved. So you may, when you're sharing with somebody, they might be on 2.8. That's okay. Your job is not to save people. Whose job is it to save people? God's job. You're successful if you're following the command to share the gospel with somebody, okay, in some form or fashion. So I want to get you started. I want to get everybody started here today in the Great Commission. So here's what I want you to do this week. This is your assignment. I want you to write down three people, and have a permanent record of this. I want you to write down three individuals that you think maybe have a good chance of not knowing the Lord, not having a personal relationship. Now, I don't know who's saved. I mean, we can't look into people's hearts. But you might have talked to somebody and they might have said, "I'm not a Christian," and you know, or whatever. You know that person's not. So three individuals that you think possibly are lost, don't have a relationship with God, and I want you to write their names down, and then I want you to start praying for them to be saved, okay? And then as we get into our little message next week, we'll talk about this idea of caring and then sharing. Because God wants you to be involved in this. God wants you to participate with him. God doesn't need you. He's chosen to partner with you in the building of his kingdom. And you don't want to miss out. Listen, you don't want to get to heaven and never had help anybody come to know the Lord. Now, sometimes we're the planners or, you know, that kind of thing. And then other times we're the waters. We get to pick the fruit. Sometimes we're doing all the planning, okay? But somewhere in that process, okay, you don't want to have go to heaven and there not be one person come up to you and say, thank you for sharing the gospel with me, whether it was in planting or watering or reaping. You don't want that. God doesn't want that for you. He wants you to be a part of that, okay? So, everybody know what their assignment is? So we're not going to do a new word next week. We're going to stay on E for evangelism, which is the word translated into English, gospel, which means good news. You want to be a part of delivering the good news of Jesus Christ. You don't have to go to Africa to do that. God wants us to do that right here. Let's pray. Go ahead and start thinking about your names. And some of you have already been doing this, so kudos to you. But for all of us newbies, think about those names. Think about who you can put on that list. And let's start being intentional. Instead of saying, oh, that was a nice message, I hope I get around to that sometime. No, we can start today being intentional in the Great Commission, writing three names down. Those are three human beings that God loves, that God cares about, that God sent his son to die on the cross for. And we want to be a part of reaching them for Christ. This is the way disciples act. This is following in the footsteps of Jesus. The Bible says Jesus went all over sharing the good news. How can we claim to be a disciple and not share the good news? It's impossible. Those two don't go together. It's oil and water. Lord, make me part of the Great Commission to reach others. And in particular, these three people that I'm going to start praying for who are lost, possibly, maybe probably, maybe for sure, that they'll come to know you in a personal way and gain eternal life.